It is that time. We have our roving, rambling, intrepid. And a few more. Reporter Ruth Epstein to tell us all about what's going on out there. So, for this edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, the floor is yours.
Okay.
The ground is yours. It's all yours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, the political season is heating up. It always does at this time of the year. We're coming down to the November 4th elections, which are municipal this year. So we had the governor visit the northwest corner yesterday. He was at the meet and greet at the Town Grove in Salisbury put on by the Democratic Town Committee. He was there along with Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, and a huge crowd came out to hear his messages and her messages. Then they talked about the candidates that are going to be running this November.
If I'm not mistaken, in Salisbury, the ballot is basically a done deal. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's the one selectman seat. That's the only thing that a vote actually impacts. Everything else is a done deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's only one other Republican, and there's nobody for school board, nobody for Board of Finance.
Yeah, the only two Republicans running, as I mentioned last week at when I went to the Republican meet and greet, was Don Malin, who is being running against Kitty Kiefer for the one seat on the selectman.
And there's another person in that mix, too.
Is Peter Beckett running for the Board of Assessment Appeals. And I don't know if he is a shoo-in. I'm not sure.
I think that's a done deal there. I'm pretty sure it is. Now, the selectman, though, there's a third selectman candidate.
What do you mean?
Isn't there three candidates for selectman, I believe?
There's, let me get this. Curtis is running again. Nobody is running for first on the Republican ticket.
Right.
And Barrett Prinz is running for selectman on the Democratic ticket.
Uh-huh.
Kitty Kiefer is
running
unaffiliated,
off the
and
line.
Don Malin is a Republican.
And see, remember, Salisbury flipped how we do this. There's no drop down, so there's two votes for selectman.
Right.
So that's the one race that is there. And other than that, I know Peter's already on that board, so that's a given. But just simply that there are other things there, Board of Finance, there's Board of Education.
Yeah,
Republicans have no candidates in the mix.
Right, yeah.
I don't know why.
And sadly, Curtis spoke briefly yesterday, first selectman Curtis Rand, and listed four people who had recently passed away, and I was shocked to hear that Jim Dresser died.
No, I didn't hear that.
So was everybody else.
Wow.
Yeah. Of course, we knew about Dave Beiersdorfer. He mentioned Linda Dodge and Peggy Hecht, but apparently I really was shocked. As we know, Jim has been instrumental in affordable housing in this town, and his project, he donated land for Dresser Woods in downtown Lakeville, that has not broken ground yet, but there are plans for several units there. So that was quite sad.
Yeah,
Jim had been a selectman.
Significant player on the ground because he's been on multiple commissions over the years. I'm in total shock hearing that here. It's like, how did that...
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I think everybody did. Maybe it just happened, but I was taken aback. Yeah.
Do we know when?
No. He just listed the four names.
Sorry to hear that.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
He was very involved with town politics, no matter which way, whether he liked or not the politics. He was there for a long time on just about every commission, I think, he served on.
Yeah, and on the board of Salisbury School, I believe.
Yeah, a lot of things
lot
going
of things,
on there.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So condolences to the family, obviously.
Likewise, yes.
Okay, and then on Saturday, Attorney General William Tong was at a gathering of the Democratic Coalition of Northwest Connecticut and Sharon, and he spoke, again, a huge crowd, talking about the things that he's fighting against in the federal administration. And then switching gears now to yesterday. On Monday, we had a groundbreaking ceremony for at Community Hall in Sharon. They're going to, they've gotten the go-ahead to convert that building into four affordable units. So they had a ceremony, and followed by the annual housing summit, where everybody who's involved in housing projects in Litchfield County, they all come together. Last year it was at the Town Grove. This year it's at Sharon Center School. It was at Sharon Center School, and the Commissioner of Housing attends, and Jocelyn Ayer, who is Director of the, let me get this right, Litchfield County Center for Housing Opportunity, I believe is the name of her organization. She sort of runs that. And it, as was mentioned on Sunday at the Democratic and as well as at the Republican, affordable housing is a key issue in these towns. And while none of the towns, well, I think maybe North, except for North Canaan, has a reached the 10% mark that the state would like to see affordable housing. A lot of the towns are working and tirelessly. These people are really incredible, and hats off to all those groups. That was done in at the Republican as well as the Democratic.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, North Canaan is just shy, last time I checked, of that 10% the state wants to have. But all of the towns have been working on a lot of projects, and for the last, I want to say, 8-9 years, all of them have kind of been into these stalls, and now all of a sudden there's multiple ones that are breaking loose and getting ready to go, like the one in Sharon, the one in Lakeville.
Yeah, they're going to be breaking ground, they said, as I said, sometime soon
sometime
for Holly
Place. Yeah. So, and I think there's some other ones that are going. So there's been kind of a lull period. And, of course, then you have those two new houses in Salisbury. But it's like all the energy seems to have come together now at this point. And you're going to see
some action.
Yeah, you're going to see more affordable housing. But, you know, as we look at things like the median price of a single-family home in Salisbury being $1 million, we may have to crank those numbers up a bit.
And that's, frankly, a very good and important point. And there was something, I noticed it, I don't know which Connecticut paper, but there's a, maybe it's Waterbury, but it's an affordable housing arrangement that has just been slowed or stopped or something because of affordability issues. So just file that away.
Well,
I don't know where. I'll look. I think it might have been in Waterbury. You know, it's not that it's here. It's just that it was affordable house. Oh, here it is. from the Republican American on the 28th. Waterbury affordable housing on hold after tax break questions arise. And I haven't looked into it any further, but that just caught my eye, you know, in general.
I was talking to somebody this past week about housing in Great Barrington. Apparently rentals are through the roof. I mean, they're bad enough here in Litchfield County, but I think even worse up in that area. You know, and it's the same lament. How do who are landscapers
or teachers or nurses interrupt? But it's ridiculous. You know, I've got a young, I personally, there's a young couple, and, you know, their rent, if I had to pay that rent for what they're getting, no disrespect to anybody and no names, for what, when I was that age, I would, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah.
But it's insane, and it's equally insane, excuse me, this is all my opinion, and it's your show, and I'm sorry, but it's equally insane that people go along and say, oh, well, let's carry on, you know, oh, there's nothing to be done. It's like, at some point, everyone's going to have to look around and go, wow, if it's insane and it's all over, we maybe want to think of some other way to approach this. Sorry, just my digression. Because
there's a lot of different things, a lot of ways they're approaching it now. It's not for not trying, but it's really a hard thing to do because of the cost of building material, all of the things involved. And I'll take the Lakeville project that's coming up. If you were doing that in real world as a private business with the money they're going to spend to build that, it wouldn't get done. Because the amount of money they're having to spend to build that is far beyond what it will bring back in. But, you know, if it wasn't for the nonprofit organizations and the government involvement, you would have nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what is affordable considered?
I don't know.
30, if you're paying
more than 30%
of your income?
That's right. Yeah, more than 30. But then again, too, that number is drifting around. What income, if you look at the numbers as they change, you're seeing sometimes that people are in poverty level, depending on the size of their family, who are making six figures.
Yeah.
How the hell did we get there?
and obviously, Captain Obvious on this one, you know, it's all the price. It's when people say that, and I almost misbehaved badly a few months ago when I was someplace else and heard somebody say, "Well, I don't see price. You know, I don't have a problem with prices." It's like, okay. Like, okay. You not know that a long time ago you are happily spending, let's just say, $8 for a cup of coffee that you would normally would have spent, what, a nickel on, a quarter, a dime? But without thinking, that is how, as a matter of fact, I saw a really cool thing about what a dollar buys now compared to 1955, I think. Well, actually going back, but we're down to like something along like 7 cents. So, Ruth, when you were growing up, Mike, when you were growing up, Jill, when you were growing up, you know, a dollar bought, not a dollar, but far more than 7 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and it's numbers adjustment, too. A good example of where they fail to make adjustments, for example, is on Social Security. And it went originally from people being taxed at a certain threshold on their Social Security, they came back in, to being around 10% of the people. But since they haven't adjusted the actual numbers on the amount of money you can make while you're drawing Social Security since 1983, you now have 80% of people having to pay a portion of taxes on their Social Security money coming back to them.
Which is their money to start with.
Well, exactly. But the fact that they haven't adjusted those numbers since 1983...
Yeah, makes you wonder something
absurd.
About who's running the show.
Well, exactly.
In my view.
Anyway.
You know,
well,
anyway.
How about a happy something?
There we go.
Highland Games?
There we go.
We, it's called Agriculture and Science Technology Program now. It used to be VOAG at the high school. It's got a more formal name now. Has been able to license, not lease, I was clear to say license, 2 acres of land just north of the high school from Eversource. And they are going to use it for all sorts of activities for the program. And so last week, a group of kids were there, along with adults and community members, starting to clear this property. And it was incredible. The kids were out there cutting brush and trees and getting it ready. And they're going to have, according to Bruce Bennett, who is head of the school's Agricultural Advisory Committee, it's going to be a fantastic outdoor classroom with the plan eventually, you know, over the many years is to have an orchard, have places where kids can learn all about forestry. It's just a fabulous program and a wonderful opportunity for kids to really get hands-on experience. this has been in the works. Mark Burdick was there, retired department chair. He said he'd been working on trying to get this become a reality for almost about 10 years, and it finally happened. So you're going to be seeing this beautiful land lab, as they call it, come to fruition over the next few years.
Well, that is good news. And do you know who would be really, really, really happy about that? On top of everybody else? Katie Gannett.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
I'm allowed to say that, and I think that that's just fantastic.
Yeah, she would have been thrilled. We could have had dahlias growing out there.
Oh, do you know, way back when, because they got to, the dahlias were so beautiful, and they were, they were driving around. Dahlias went to Gear. Dahlias went to Noble Horizons. Dahlias went down to Kent. They even were taking them at one point to the Falls Village Inn we really should do something. Really, this needs to be carried on. Can we do anything with the kids at the high school? Because, you know, it was just, they worked for years, obviously, to create that profusion of glory. But it's just amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah.
And
it was great. The community really rallies for this program. And Mike Gobble from M&M Excavating in Sheffield was there. He had loaned them trucks, a dump truck, and equipment the kids were able to use for that day. Just volunteers' time. He was there and his wife and volunteering his stuff. Bruce said there were other businessmen in town who were all helping out to make this really come to be. So a great community project all in all.
And what's wonderful about that also is, you know, the ties through the school, right, mm-hmm. run locally deep, obviously. So everyone knows someone who was a participant at some point.
That program has saved so many kids. I've heard that over the years. Kids who wouldn't have come to school were it not for that program.
And yes, short answer, and I'm not going to take over any more of your show. But yes, it has, and it works, and it continues to work. And this is great because there's absolutely nothing like the hands-on experience. You know, it is one thing to... I remember when I tried to make a sushi roll. And I saw that, I watched the video, and I've cooked and blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, my sushi roll didn't look a thing like the thing in the video first time. And I actually never went back to it. But the point is, you need to have hands-on experience before you can even attempt this stuff.
Hmm.
So.
On another topic, they were supposed to be making a ruling on the North Canaan ballot case on Friday. Any word on that?
Yeah, they did. Those people are off the ballot.
Oh, they are?
Yep.
So they're going to have to go as write-in then?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? That happened in Salisbury a number of years ago, and actually things managed to work their way out. But, man, so the entire ticket is all going to be write-in.
Well, it's the two people whose names the judge determined that because they didn't have the office they were running for on the application, the judge said that was invalid, and so it was for town clerk and for one other.
Okay,
position.
those two offices.
Yeah, so they. Okay. I did hear that yesterday.
All right, well,
that they're off the ballot. Yeah.
All right. Well, anything on the horizon we should know about?
Well, I'm sure there will be. I'll be out there.
Yeah, well, you've got fall festivals coming up all over the place.
Yeah.
It's going to be leaf peeping season, so watch the roads, folks.
Are we going to have much color this year? I don't know.
That's been a debate as to whether it's going to happen or not. But let the leaf peepers come anyway. They bring money to town.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
They also aren't paying. They're paying less attention to the road than they normally do.
My favorite is when they stop. Just dead stop right smack in the middle of the road because...
All right. Well, speaking of dead stop, guess what?
Okay, Ruth,
time
we always thank you.
Stop.
We always appreciate you. And we will talk to you next time. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein on Robinhood Radio.